You're listening to The Broker Show with a Broker Joe, your expert in all things real estate. Hot topics, market trends, even your questions. It's all on the table. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
That's right. It's The Broker Show with Broker Joe. I am Etch. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, Etch, I'm just thrilled to be here. Get me out of the office and being in here, getting to talk about real estate to someone other than buyers, sellers, and realtors. Fantastic. Fantastic.
It's got to be a nice little change.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Somebody, yeah. Some muck like me who doesn't know a thing about it. But the beauty of this whole thing is that I get to learn along with our audience
How
this all goes down.
Oh, hopefully we learn something. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah, yeah.
So what's your day been like? If you're anything like me, my kids drive me nuts.
Yeah, well, it's been especially crazy today because we are getting ready for our first family vacation in, oh my gosh, I can't remember. So COVID came along. We had plans, Florida, out of the country, all this stuff, obviously shut all that down. So we are leaving tomorrow morning. 5 a.m. heading to Sioux Falls. We're going to Wisconsin Dells to do some water stuff. And then we're going to the Badlands, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Utah. It's going to be a blast.
So you're doing it all.
You're still
in the whole like Midwest to West.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to beat ourselves up hiking and fishing and everything. We're going to do the outside thing.
That's the American dream. Heck, that's what it's all about, going out and doing it.
Yeah, we are excited. We're going to pack the SUV all night here and hopefully be ready in the morning. We'll see.
Yeah, let's
told Karen keep our she's driving. Crossed.
Yeah, well, I got to say, you deserve something like that. With all the kids going back to school and coming home. I mean, I don't know if you're anything like me, but my house is in disarray. It's a nut job over there.
Yeah.
And just trying to keep up with everything. You got to get home. You try to relax. And then it's one thing after the other. And you try your best. But next thing you know, it's 10 o'clock at night. You're trying to sleep. You're not getting any sleep. You wake up early in the morning.
Yeah.
You're doing it all over again. You're just waiting for the weekend. Then the weekend seems like it's just as crammed.
It is. And I think early on, we're always, anyone has 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, whatever the case is, you're always struggling with routines and eating healthy and sleeping healthy and getting up early and doing all the right things and getting quality time. I think that we keep referencing the pandemic, but it's really affected a lot of things. It's really relevant.
Yep.
And I think that early on, we just said, hey, we got to be flexible and we just got to keep an open mind, work with the problems instead of being afraid, being worried and passing that on to the kids. They're sensitive, man. They're sensitive. They feel the vibe of what's happening around you. I think when we were shut down there back in April, May, March, we just went on a video binge and we had a blast with it. So they're begging me, hey, let's do those videos. That was a blast. So it was nice that we really came together as a family and a lot of that carryover is still come through today. Don't want to let that go.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah, you know, relaxation, what it's all about, especially with the kids, like we said, because they're just trying to go back to school and
figure
it out. Everything's different for them there.
It is.
You know, mom and dad back home trying to figure out if you're homeschooling or if you're virtual schooling right now.
Yeah.
You know how crazy that is. I, for one, can say I'm happy that I just retired as a homeschooling teacher. We just sent ours back to face to face.
Good for you.
I know, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think I deserve a drink here. And you were telling me earlier that you made one up today.
Well, so here's the deal. RE/MAX Michigan, this is actually middle of their fall conference, usually hundreds of agents getting together, having a good time, drinking some drinks, getting some coaching, some teaching, and spending time with each other. So we can't do that this year. Virtual. So they spiced it up. We had a great first opening session today. We had a virtual happy hour from 3:30 to 4:30. And I was called
so you're
upon.
Drunk right now.
Well, no. I mean, you know, I knew I had to get here and knew I had to be somewhat cohesive tonight.
Right.
I have some expectations on myself, but I did. Take it away around 4 o'clock today. I made a drink that's my own.
Yeah.
And I made up a drink. It's called the Joski.
I like it.
Yep. So I got to do that live, teach everyone how to do that. And it was really fun. For all of you, I'm just going to forewarn you, this drink's not for the faint of heart. And also, it doesn't follow the correct lines of what to mix and what not to mix. Hence the Joski. I would hate to attribute any other name to this drink other than my own. You know, I take full responsibility. Not for the after effects, mind you. But no, it's Jameson on the rocks, a splash of lime juice, watermelon balls. So you take a watermelon ball.
Okay, like a baller.
Yep, exactly. Some lemon and then some maple syrup. Okay.
Interesting.
Maple syrup. Interesting is the word. Actually, you know, interesting is the best I got out of my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lost her at maple syrup.
Yeah.
I really did. But you know what? I think it's great.
But here's the thing. You would think that Jameson and maple syrup would go hand in hand. A little bit of flavor, like a little sweet with that spice.
Yeah, back when I put this together, that's what I thought. I said, maple syrup? I think I'm just, you know, I'm a kid at heart, and so trying to make a drink, but also, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not the one who grabs the stout drink when I go to the bar. Right. So I'm trying to take the Jameson and throw some fruit in there and throw some syrup in there. I think it's great. Everyone seemed to love it. It was entertaining.
See, we made a drink one time when I was back in college. We named it after Michael Jackson.
Okay.
We called it the Thriller.
Oh.
And basically what it was it was like a root beer float, but we used Guinness.
Okay.
And then we put a scoop of ice cream in it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like a black and tan.
Sure, sure.
Kind of like that, but we're like, it's like black and white, Michael Jackson. Yeah. Call it the Thriller.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah.
Surprisingly decent. Like, you wouldn't think beer and a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
But it turned out pretty good, actually.
Okay.
I mean, try it for what it is.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. That's exactly right.
You know, speaking of taking your word for something, this real estate market's been just nuts lately. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
It's been historic. The last 3-4 months have been record-breaking for sales, for prices, for all those things. And we almost feel, even agents that work with our company here, you go husband and wife, everyone has different jobs and different roles in the community. And how it affects people is what's so crazy.
Right.
It's so different, right? Some businesses are really hurting,
yep.
really struggling, even closing up in fear of losing what they've spent most of their life, in some cases, building. Mm-hmm. And in our case, it's been a boon to our business and a really for factors that are somewhat related to COVID, but not really. They're things that have been coming down the road for a long time. And it's really put, I would say, a strain. I think most realtors are pretty happy with the outcome of the summer. It's been extremely busy. We're very, very blessed. Very blessed to be able to say we're blessed in these times. Mm-hmm. We'll see where it goes. But Michigan in particular, and in particular, Western Michigan, we've had this coming for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have had this crunch coming for a while.
And it's been crazy because my fiance and I, we've been kind of toying with the idea of we want to expand, get a little bit more property, get something that's more of like a farm. I don't want to say farmhouse. We don't want to be farmers by any means.
Oh, okay.
But we want to have a couple of acres that we can, you know, go out and maybe I can do some hunting on if I want to. But mainly
city chickens, man. It's a thing now. It's a thing now, man.
It's funny because I was out there working on my lawnmower and I live in town here and I heard chickens clucking.
Just today. Yeah.
I was like, what is going on?
I think it's six.
Here?
I think Big Rapids, I think you can have six chickens.
Is that
chickens.
What it is?
It's five or six.
Well,
I can't remember.
It followed up with a big moo of a cow, too.
Yeah. Oh, I no. Like, I don't
but
think cows.
This is like middle of the night.
Okay.
Like last night, I heard it and I was like, what is going on? What is the farm behind our bodies? But so we were looking to try to find a bigger house because right now we don't have a lot of storage space.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 3-bedroom, 1.5 bath, but we're looking to expand just outside of town.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at crunching down our property taxes and things. We've made some nice changes in our house as far as upgrading things. Then comes the whole idea of how far do you go as far as your own upgrades to make it so that it's profitable for you, especially in a time that's hot right now for a seller's market. And then it's like, do you really have to do a lot when there's such a demand for houses?
Tons of good questions, all of them good. And, you know, back to the point, I think one of the biggest challenges that buyers have, and you're like anyone else, you have your favorite app, right? You probably have your favorite app, whether Zillow, Remax.com, Realtor.com. So you're watching and you're seeing the houses you love. Oh, I love this house. Oh, boom. The next day. Oh, it's sold. Oh, it's sold. It's sold. I mean, what is normal, right? And so agents, we've been saying this for years. Hey, it's historic. 2017, 18, 19, 2020. And I say it gets worse and worse. I mean, in some ways you could say it gets better and better. Depends on if you're a seller or a buyer, but for buyers, very frustrating. And a healthy market is called MSI. MSI is what determines a healthy market. The national recommended index is between 4 and 6 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 4 and 6 months of inventory on the market means that at any given time you get on Zillow, the amount of, let's say in a particular zip code, 50 houses sell every month. Mm-hmm. So that means a healthy market, if you get on Zillow, there would be 200 homes for sale, right? That's a 4-point index. Between 4 and 6 is good. Over 6, that's a buyer's market. Too much inventory, a lot to choose from, right? So under 4, that's a seller's market. Mm-hmm. For sure, seller's market, right? Low inventory drives the prices up, drives the buyers crazy. Mm-hmm. And so Big Rapids, Mecosta County, Osceola County, Newaygo, Lake, this area, it depends on the neighborhoods and the city and the averages. We're hovering right now at around 40 to 50 days, which is a month and a half. It's unbelievable. We're way, way under the minimums. Grand Rapids, 28 days. Is it 28 days? That's less than 1 month of inventory.
Jeez.
Less than 1 month of inventory on the market right now. So every house, I had a buddy down there that told me the other day, Joe, I had 117 offers.
Whoa.
117 offers within 48 hours
yeah.
of going live.
Right.
I had another agent. Brenda was out in Grand Rapids. We don't always work Grand Rapids, but we do from time to time.
Sure.
So Brenda's out there and she says, Joe, we pull in and, you know, we went to schedule a showing and there's no available time. And the agent said, just go, just go. Brenda shows up with her client. They pull up and there's two gentlemen fighting in the front yard, fist fighting, because they're arguing. There's a line up the street trying to get into the house. And, you know, if you're a seller again, hey, bring it on, baby, let's go.
Yeah.
But if you're a buyer, what a horrible environment,
yeah.
especially when you're saying, listen, I just got to get a bigger house. I got a family. You know, there are situations that maybe have nothing to do with anything else.
Right.
But it makes it really challenging mm-hmm. and frustrating. And you hear these stories all the time. So what are the strategies? As a seller, there are so many strategies. But I think the buyers are the ones in the most need right now.
Yeah.
How do I get an edge?
Mm-hmm.
How do I find a way to get my foot in the door when maybe I don't have the budget someone else has?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the clout that someone else has,
right.
whether it be the money down or whether it be whatever those factors are. How can I get an edge in this market that is so crazy? And there's so many questions that yeah. all need to be answered.
There is a lot. And we're yeah. going to unpack some of those as you hear us go throughout this series. And I'm really excited to learn more about this. So let's kind of dive right in. Let's start out with price, because the price is a big thing.
That is the obvious one.
You go through your apps. You go through the one that we mainly go through is
yeah.
Realtor.com. So we just kind of do a filter. We search through and we're like, okay, what's in our price range? And it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because the houses that you would normally think, and I've seen five or six of them recently that I've looked at that I'm like, there's no way that that house is worth that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
How are they putting that price? And then it makes me kind of optimistic of saying, we could go ahead and list ours for that easily because
sure.
it's already in better condition
sure.
than that. And we've made upgrades.
Yeah.
We would be profiting about 30 grand off of it.
Yeah.
Easily
yeah.
from what we purchased it for going on 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So price is a big thing.
You know, Etch, I think the elephant in the room here, and I'm going to get it right out of the way, is it sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
I think people ask that. So people that are hesitant to right. sell their house, right? They know they have equity.
Yep.
They can feel the change, but they go, well, what the heck am I going to buy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
If I upgrade,
mm-hmm.
if I add $50,000 to my bottom line on the mortgage or $100,000, whatever the number is this market sustainable?
Yeah.
Am I going to have equity down the road? So just to simply answer that question, first of all, there's no crystal ball. And agents would love to be able to answer this question directly, honestly.
Sure.
There just isn't. But as a rule, property value, it goes up, it goes down. But you know what? You look at 10-year period, 20-year period, it always goes up. What's the old saying? They don't make land anymore. So in Western Michigan, we have a long-term housing shortage. Detroit News put out a couple weeks ago an article talking about the intricacies of the housing crisis in Michigan. What's led to it is housing shortage, housing unit shortage.
Right.
Within about 20 years, they're projecting even at the rate that growth is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
New house built every second right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be 150,000 units short. In the state of Michigan. So that's driving it. But buyers are looking at it going, what do I do here? Am I going to get into this and be left high and dry? I think the real question is affordability.
Yeah.
And so when you think of the word affordability, you have to look at a number of things. You got to look at taxes, insurance, and the price of the house, right?
Yep.
Those are the big three.
Sure.
So those three put together kind of determine where you're going to be as far as the mortgage goes. And the banks right now, they're a lot more stringent than they were back during the market crash. They're going to look at making sure you have some equity in the home and there is enough income there to cover you in the event of a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, well goes bad, septic goes bad, roof goes bad, something right. like that. And so at the same time, you can get yourself in trouble. I see it all the time. Buyers go and they squeeze it to the limit, squeeze those ratios to the limit, and they get themselves in trouble. And we try. I really firmly believe that my strategy from day one for 13 years has been, when I'm working with buyers, tell them, listen, you don't have to buy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that mindset, if you do truly have to buy, then we'll find you something. We'll make it work. But please don't make a decision that is going to keep you awake at night.
Mm-hmm.
If you're awake at night because you're excited, that's great. If you're awake at night because you're anxious and you feel like you made the wrong move, I don't want to be a part of it, right? I'll be a part of the journey and helping educate you. But at the same time, someone that puts pressure on you, any scenario, any professional that's going to put pressure on someone to do something that they don't feel comfortable doing, that's a bad move to start. But, you know, you look at the interest now. It's historically low.
Yep.
People with good credit, over 720, over 740, can go get a 2.5% interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to a friend, Terry, and Terry said, you know, Joe, when me and my wife bought my first house, 17% interest. 17%!
So like my student
Could
loans.
You imagine? Yeah, and back then, it wasn't like 17.2. It was like 15, 17, 20, 24.
Right.
It was these big numbers, right? So we're so lucky. We're borrowing almost free money, 2.5%.
Yeah.
So if you were looking at a $100,000 house 3 years ago
mm-hmm.
at 5% or 5.5%, look at it again
mm-hmm.
at 2.5. Look at the huge difference it can make. That interest is a very significant part.
Sure.
When you start off, it could be over half of your payment. payment. Mm-hmm. Probably is over half your payment, right? So, and then obviously you look at the taxes and make sure you can homestead it, get that beautiful Michigan exemption on the taxes. Doesn't cut it all out, but takes a big chunk off, makes it more affordable. So you start with that, make sure it's affordable, and go from there.
Talk to me about offers. Like, let's say you find one.
Yeah.
You get lucky and you're like, this is the one. And obviously there's probably, especially in right now.
Could be. If you want it, everyone else does too.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's going to be other people who are trying to offer. So how do you stay competitive with that and yet still keep the seller's eyes on you being like, oh, this is actually a decent offer. Break that down for me.
I think that even though you have a lot of sellers that go, I know my house is selling, right? Here comes a nice fat offer, but something about it rubs in the wrong way. And that occasional seller that goes, forget it. We'll wait for the right one to come along.
Because there's always going to be concessions and stuff.
Sometimes
I want you to pay all my closing costs, et cetera, that kind of thing.
I think most sellers, they're very reasonable people. They're excited about the market. They're optimistic about what they're going to get for their house. But at the same time, they want it over with.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if an offer comes and it isn't what it should be for a listing, and that agent's a good agent, right, that knows what it should be, they need that agent to say, hey, you know what? Let's not get too excited here. Let's hold off, because most sellers, they want to sell. They want this process to be over. They want to move. They want certainty. Certainty is the key word. Okay, so as a buyer, if you can somehow portray the certainty with which you are buying the home, that is the most important thing to the seller. Mm-hmm. You can portray that through a number of different ways, different angles in that purchase agreement, and here's the deal. Everyone's limited to what they can do. If you're not a cash buyer that can go $20,000 over asking price and close in 10 days, if you're not that guy, which is not many people, then we got to look at other ways to get an edge. How else can I get an edge? How can I clean up my offer? How can I make this seller understand how serious I am? There's a lot of things that people do. A very popular thing these days is letter writing. Actually, our realtor attorneys in the state updated our listing agreements because they've become so popular. Mm-hmm. Now it's in the listing. The seller has to choose. Do I want to accept or review letters from buyers or not? Some sellers hate it.
Right.
I can't handle the pressure. Yeah. Everyone's babies are so cute. Everybody's crying. Everybody wants it so bad, right? But most sellers love to see it. That's the humanity. Yes, it's important to get that price now for sellers. But what's also very important, they want to feel like, especially if they built the home or they lived there for a while, they raised their kids there.
Right.
Right. They want to feel like, who's getting my house?
Yeah.
You know, who is it? They love to see these letters and know who they're dealing with. And I've seen so many times buyers win. Maybe they were 1,000 or 2 under the other offer, but they were able to so effectively portray not just who they were, but how serious they were about this house, what a perfect fit it was. Yeah. And here's the reasons why, right? I'm not going to back out if the handrail's a little bouncy. That's the seller's worst nightmare. Someone comes in with this big offer, first day on the market, you say, which one do I take? And you take this one. And then you wait 10 days for inspections, because usually buyers get 10 days. And on day 9, buyer comes in and goes, well, you know.
Been there.
that gutter, I just feel like, you know, you pick something, right? And there are legitimate issues. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I do not, if you're a buyer listening, do not buy a home without doing a home inspection, right? I know your dad did construction back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I know grandpa has been watching Home Improvement, the TV show, since he was a kid.
Sure.
But you know what? Hire a professional. Yep. Hire a professional to go out there and take a look. But at the same time, when you take a look, keep in mind there are going to be things wrong, right? The seller's sitting there dreading you being out there inspecting their home. If there's serious issues, you know what? It's time to get them fixed, time to renegotiate. But don't lose it over ticky-tack stuff.
Right. Good stuff, because that's always something that I think everybody deals with. And as a seller, I know that I've never sold one personally as far as like my own home or anything like that, because the house that we're in right now is the first one that I've actually moved in with my fiance. She and I were like, this is ours.
Gotcha.
You know, but I was in the process when she was selling her last one, and it was the same thing, nitpicky stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, there's 3 tiles missing in that upstairs. That should be $5,000 off. And I'm like, look, dude, 3 tiles that aren't even available in stores anymore is not worth $5,000. Yep. I'm sorry. Those are like 25 cents a piece. Find them online next. You know, that kind of thing. So that's a big thing. So talk to me about deposit now. Like, what's going on with like money down?
Money down is kind of, in my opinion, may horrify some agents and brokers out there listening. Mm-hmm. But the escrow deposit is an antiquated thing.
Yep.
And I think that it's inevitable that it goes away. And here's the reason why. When a buyer typically comes in, they're going to put money down. And typically, you want to see 1%. That's kind of a market standard. It can be whatever the buyer wants to do. But first of all, my advice to a buyer, put as much down as you can. Mm-hmm. If you're buying a $200,000 house and you're putting $20,000 down or $40,000 down, put a $20,000 deposit, put a $10,000 deposit. Make the deposit significant. And here's why. There's 2 big contingencies when a buyer walks into a deal. Mm-hmm. Number 1, buyer inspections. That's a get out of jail free card. Yeah. Buyer gets to go in. They get to bring everyone, whoever they want to hire, home inspector, roof inspector, foundation inspector, radon, you name it, well water, septic, all of it. They get to come in. They get to pick apart for 10 days while the seller shakes on the couch, hoping everything is going to go well. And so buyer comes through and you can back out. That deposit is sitting there. It is collected. It is sitting in the title company or the real estate office, but it's sitting there. It's your money. You get to get that back if you back out of the deal or renegotiations don't work out. Then there's number two. There's the lending contingency, right? So the bank's going to come in. They're going to do an appraisal. They're going to underwrite you. They're going to make sure that your income's what you said it was. They're going to make sure that you're still working the day before closing, maybe even the hour before closing. And so, but if anything happens in that whole process to kill the deal that's lender related, you're out. You're out scot-free as a buyer. It hurts. There's the sting, but you're not putting your money at risk as long as you maintain your desire to buy that house. You get cold feet, don't want the house anymore. Well, you can't get out because of that.
Yeah.
You have to mean business. And so that, but the escrow, for the most part, it sits there and buyers back out of the deal and seller goes, where's my escrow? Say, well, listen, we chatted through this. This is the buyer's money. They have these contingencies, and if they don't work out, they get this money back.
Yeah.
So what I would say to a buyer is a lot of people are limited with what they have down, and there's some great programs out there like Rural Development, very popular in our area. A program you can't get downtown Grand Rapids, some other areas.
Oh, yeah.
But very popular here, 100% financing, no money down. And then they let you do a seller's concession, and you can add in the cost of your closing costs, which are your underwriting fees and appraisal. Yada, yada. And you can add that in. You can literally walk up to the table with no money down. That is attractive to a lot of people that don't have a bank account to support a big down payment, right? And then you're working within your limitations. You can only put $300 or $400 or $500 down. But what I would say, my advice, if you got the money, if you're already putting $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 down, put a big chunk down. Even though the seller is going to have it explained to them that that's not their money, right? And they're unlikely to ever get to take it from you, it makes them feel confident that you're putting your best foot forward. I've got the money in the bank. It's not pie in the sky. Right? Yeah. I've got it. Here it is. Title company's going to hold it and hold the deal.
So it's basically just like flexing.
It is a flex. It's a flex. And the seller really appreciates
it. Because then it's just like, oh yeah, this guy, he means business.
Yeah.
So a lot of great information of basic things like price and money down that we've talked about this week. Next episode, we're going to tackle some more of the basics, personal property, taking possession of the home, and getting pre-approved, because that's something that's a really big deal.
It is a big deal. And we're going to make it fun as we can.
We have a lot of great things in store for you coming up in the coming episodes. We will tell you about some of our plans moving forward.
Yes, we will.
And it's going to be really exciting. We're just kind of hammering out the details, how you can get involved in the Broker Show. Lots of basic topics for both the buyer, the seller, and for the broker tuning in, of some tips and tricks and things that Joe does to make things a little bit easier
every day
to the table. All right, so tune in next week. It's the Broker Show. I'm Etch.
And I'm the Broker Joe.